Dear friends in Jesus Christ, as we continue our series on the Old Testament feasts, our focus today is on the second of the spring feasts, which is called Unleavened Bread. Now, last week we looked at the first one, Passover, but Unleavened Bread is the first of the three feasts in which God required all of the men to appear before him. The Lord appointed this feast, I believe, as a special way for the people to remember God's rescue from their physical slavery in Egypt. Also, he appointed it especially as a way for them to look ahead, knowing that as wonderful it is to be freed from physical slavery, spiritual freedom is much more important, so they should be looking ahead and ahead and ahead, knowing that they could never save themselves, but knowing that in time God would send his Son to be the Savior. In the first part today, we take a look at the relationship between Passover, the first feast, and Unleavened Bread, the second feast. You might recall from the first sermon that these feasts occurred back to back. I mean, one date, and then the very next day, the next feast was beginning. It's almost as if one flows right into the other. But keep in mind, though, they are two, even though they appear to be one. Going to Leviticus 23, that's the chapter that lays out all seven of the feasts, it says here in verses 5 and 6, "The Lord's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. On the 15th day of that month, the Lord's Feast of Unleavened Bread begins. For 7 days, you must eat bread made without yeast or without leaven." Here's another way to distinguish the two, a comment here by Dr. Kretzmann. He writes, "While the Passover commemorated the dreadful night of judgment and deliverance, the Feast of Unleavened Bread reminded of the Exodus itself." So again, very closely related to each other, but there is a little bit of a different emphasis on each one. One follows the other. They're not the same, but again, very close together. Taking this to the 21st century, and thinking about people who do celebrate these feasts yet today, another comment here. For those who do so, Passover, Unleavened Bread, and the one we'll look at next week, First Fruits, have all been incorporated into the celebration of Passover. So today, when people talk about celebrating the Passover, most of them are generally talking about celebrating all three of those feasts. You might recall how all three of them take place over an 8-day period of time. So they are really back to back to back, but the second one, though, is 7 days. The first one and the third one, those are only 1 day. So they all fit very closely together. Let's go on to the second part. This will take us back to what happened initially in the Old Testament, and we focus here on God's rescue from physical slavery. The Lord said to Moses in Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 15, "For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast, thus without leaven. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses, and whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another one on the seventh day. Do no work at all on these days except to prepare food for everyone to eat. Celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come." You can see in that section, I underlined some key words here. We're going to take a look at each of those. So we're going to look at the topic of leaven. We're going to look at what it means to be cut off. What is a sacred assembly? And finally, this topic of lasting ordinance will come up a little bit later on in the sermon then. So first of all, why no leaven? Well, going to Exodus chapter 13 now, I just read in chapter 12, we jump ahead to chapter 13, and it says, Moses said to the people, keep in mind in chapter 12, we have the Lord communicating to Moses, and then finally Moses has to relay what the Lord has said to the people. So Moses said to the people, eat unleavened bread during those 7 days. On that day, tell your son, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. So what did the Lord do? They were in physical bondage, and on that day, the Lord freed them from that bondage. It goes on to say, this observance will be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead that the law of the Lord is to be on your lips. When I thought about this situation here, it reminded me that parents are called to, first of all, learn the Bible and to learn it very well. And they are to learn it, not only so they benefit from it, but they are to learn it for the purpose then of impressing it upon their children. With this idea of the lack of leaven, that becomes an object lesson. I finally have learned over the years that when I try to work with the younger children, I almost always have to have an object. If I have an object, they can remember that, they can get it a little bit. That even helps when we as adults have objects, don't we? So here's an object lesson not to be eating the unleavened bread. Imagine that throughout the entire year, you're eating bread with leaven, bread that has risen. And now, for this 7-day period of time, you're not doing that. That is a difference. Even if the children are real little, they might be like, Mommy, Daddy, why is the bread so thin? Why are we eating this kind of bread? And it's a perfect opportunity to be able to teach them then the great thing God did by His mighty hand to bring them out of that slavery. How can we apply this today in a more modern manner? Well, parents should, here's one example, should be using their child's baptismal birthday and really every significant day in the church year to be able to sit down with their children and explain to them what that means, what that's about. You could even do that with various secular holidays that we celebrate, talking about the Day of Thanksgiving or Memorial Day or things like this that are very important days. We could talk about how it's the Almighty God who gave us the victory in World War II. Let's talk about that a little bit. We want to honor God because He loves us, He blesses us, and He blessed us in a great way at that time. So there's all kinds of teachable opportunities, and I think we oftentimes miss them in today's world. So for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, may God help us to take advantage of these things. Continuing on the topic of why no leaven, we go now to Deuteronomy chapter 16, picking up in verse 3. It says, do not eat the Passover lamb with bread made with yeast, but for 7 days eat unleavened bread, the bread of affliction, because you left Egypt in haste, so that all the days of your life you may remember the time of your departure from Egypt. You can see even in that reading there, like I said, we have Passover, and then immediately beginning after would be unleavened bread, going for 7 days. But even there it's saying, in connection with the Passover, don't eat leavened bread with that meal either. So it seems that the eating of the unleavened bread would include not only the Passover celebration, but then the 7 days to follow for a total of 8 days of eating unleavened bread. Maybe a little more study is needed in that area. So what kind of bread could be made more quickly? I'm not the guy to ask that because I'm not a baker, but I'm going to take a guess here and say that it's probably the unleavened bread. If you put yeast or leaven into the dough, you have to give it a little bit of time, don't you, to be able to rise before you can bake it? So the unleavened could be made more quickly. So the eating of the unleavened bread, that was a reminder of their affliction. Imagine if we went down to our lunch here afterwards and you had a choice of this wonderful bread that was about this thick or a nice puffy loaf of bread, which one do you think you would choose? Yeah, you probably, we all like the puffy loaf, don't we? Or at least for the most part. So I think we would choose that. So when you're eating that flat bread, it's not necessarily the choice, but what was the idea? It would remind the people of the affliction that they endured in the slavery, and also of having to get out of town very quickly of their hasty departure. Hey, no time for the bread to rise. We've got to cook it, and we've got to get out of here. In the New Testament, just a little bit here on the topic of leaven, Jesus used the word leaven to describe sin. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, beware of the sin of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." So people who are hypocrites are giving the impression that they are one thing when in fact they are another thing. What does God want us to learn from that? He wants us to be genuine in all of our ways from the inside out. So God is the one who works the change on the inside. So may God do that for each of us. May he continue to do that for each of us. And then may the change he has made in taking away our sins and making us his holy children, may that reality then be expressed in all that we say and in all that we do. Let's go on to another question here. What did it mean to be cut off from Israel? Now, I didn't search for that phrase in the Bible, but boy, that phrase comes up a whole bunch of times in the first five books of the Bible, I believe. So I did put a footnote in here with some examples. You can check it out in the sermon copies that are available in the back. But basically, to be cut off from Israel means to be cut off from the benefits of being the forgiven children of God. So when the Lord said to do a particular thing or to be cut off, not doing the thing he said to do, that was an expression of unbelief. So it is our belief that God has given us that unites us to the benefits that God has given us in Christ. So if we do not have belief, then we are severed from the benefits. Even today, I believe people express their unbelief in all kinds of ways. A few examples would be refusing to hear God's holy word. So important, and yet many people just, for some reason or another, they don't have time, they don't have the desire, they don't have the interest. Or, for example, indulging in temporal things while completely ignoring eternal things. What utter foolishness, knowing that we are living in a temporal world right now and the eternal is coming, and this is a time to make sure we are ready for when the eternal comes, and yet if we ignore it, we're certainly not going to be ready. Also, too, how many people are living as if Jesus is not God and living as if his ultimate sacrifice means nothing? In other words, they go through life thinking and talking and acting, and it's as if it means nothing at all. What sad things. But if we know such people like that, may God help us to show love for them, to care about them, to pray for them, that God would open their eyes to the truth and see these important things and to repent. And then another question, what was a sacred assembly? Well, a sacred assembly is a call to the congregation by trumpet. If you have a large number of people, you have to be able to reach them in some way. So a call to the congregation by trumpet in order to gather to worship the Lord. So they gathered on each Sabbath, but they also gathered on other special days. For example, we read earlier that on the very first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, no matter what day of the week that is, on the very first day, that is to be that kind of a gathering, a sacred assembly. And on the very last day, that is to be a special gathering, a sacred assembly. So it doesn't matter what day of the week it is. So let's say, for example, you had a gathering on a Wednesday. You're still going to gather on Saturday for the Sabbath, and then they're going to gather at the end of the feast as well for another special gathering. Sometimes in today's world, people get this idea that they're going to kind of fit things into the schedule the way they think is best. But actually here at Bethlehem, for example, when we have extra services for like this time of year, the idea would be this is a time for extra devotion as we think about the extra that our Lord Jesus Christ has done by taking that walk to Jerusalem and laying down his life for our sins. So that's a time for us to be extra in his word, an extra thinking about him, an extra gathering here to give thanks for what he did to take away our sins. And then in the third and final section here, we focus now a little bit on God's rescue from our spiritual slavery. In other words, from our sin. And of course, that work has been done through our Lord Jesus Christ. The first question here is, why did the Son of God become like us? Well, God told us why. We go to Hebrews chapter 2, and it says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. So physical slavery, can you imagine that? It must be so difficult. What if even today people came in the midst of our service and said, you can't leave when this is over. You can't go where you want to go or do what you want to do. We're going to confine you to this area, and you have to do these things, and you have no choice in the matter, and you have to keep in that area and doing the things we tell you to do for as long as we tell you to do them. You have no rights anymore. You have no privileges anymore. Wouldn't that be a hard thing? I mean, that's what they endured for those 400 years. People even today are enslaved in various ways. Such a sad thing. But what's different, though, when it comes to physical slavery, that is temporary. You might even go back to the time of Christmas. I'm trying to think now. The hymn, Go Tell It on the Mountain. When I preached on that, do you remember that hymn is a Negro spiritual? And the people who were enslaved, they were enslaved in a temporary way for this life, but they knew that in Jesus Christ they had freedom. So they understood that, okay, for my earthly life, I'm enslaved and I can't do what I want to do. But they were rejoicing in the freedom they had in Christ, and they were looking forward even to leaving this life, knowing that would open up freedom forever. So physical slavery is bad, spiritual slavery is worse. But God wants us to know that Jesus has taken away the worst of it by, first of all, the Father's great love in sending his Son, for God so loved the world that he gave, and then the Son's perfect obedience in obeying the Father's will. By that perfect obedience, he defeated the devil, and he won freedom for all who received the benefits of his work. So how do we live in spiritual freedom then? God wants us to know that we are spiritually free in Christ. So how do we live in that freedom? Well, we live in that freedom by no longer being controlled by sin. A custom practiced by some Jewish families in preparation for the Feast of Unleavened Bread is called a Bedekat Chametz, I believe is the way you say it. But I want to share with you this ritual, this custom that they follow, and I'm not suggesting that we practice it today necessarily, but some people do. But it's a way, though, to teach children about the Feast of Unleavened Bread and also point them to our Lord Jesus Christ. The father gives each child a candle, and they go about their home looking for the unleavened crumbs that have been placed in various locations. Now, keep in mind, why are they doing that? Because God has commanded that when you come to the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or before you come to the feast, you are to get rid of all the leaven from your house. You're supposed to clean it from top to bottom and make sure that it is all gone. And what did I say earlier? Leaven is representative of our sin. So keep that in mind as we go through this. When the children see a crumb, they call out to their father. He comes and gently brushes the crumb onto the wooden spoon with the feather and carries the crumb to a furnace to be burned. The picture illustrates that as we walk in the light of God's word, he shows us our sin. Have you experienced that in your life? I know that when I was rejoicing in being a Christian, I was thankful for what God had shown me, and I thought I kind of knew how to function as a Christian, but the more I read the word of God, it's like, oh, I didn't know I was supposed to say no to that God, so then I knew. Or I didn't know that I was supposed to be proceeding in this particular way. So God keeps showing me things from his word as to how to proceed, and God keeps assuring me that in Christ those sins are forgiven. So God wants us to grow up in him. He wants us to live in spiritual freedom. Finishing with the example here, finally it says, when we call out to our Heavenly Father, he takes away our sin. And keep in mind, too, that the wooden spoon that the leaven is brushed upon, what do you think that might be symbolizing? Sure, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we see the sin in our lives, we should be sad about that, but we should know with confidence that Jesus took every sin, he took all of our punishment, and through him, we are forgiven. I have a handout today, and it's on the practice I just mentioned. It's a little bit long, but I came across it yesterday. I thought it was a very well-written handout. It will explain so much more than what I've shared already, and you might find it interesting to pick up a copy and take a look at it. There are some available on the table in the back. Finally, the last question today, are we as 21st century Christians, are we celebrating the feast of unleavened bread as a lasting ordinance? Well, last week, we saw how the Old Testament feast of Passover has become the New Testament celebration of the Lord's Supper. I also mentioned earlier that how today, oftentimes, Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits are all viewed together. So what we're seeing today now is that our celebration of the supper, which is the New Testament Passover, is really also our celebration of unleavened bread as we receive that kind of bread in connection with the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave to take away our sins. Well, now, knowing that through Jesus we are free from sin, we are righteous in God's sight and certain of eternal life, may God help us to live in spiritual freedom, saying no to sin, and always seeking to glorify God in all we say and do. And all God's people said, Amen.